You're, Kim, we got enough folks to get started.
Yeah,
you want to do roll call
here.
Okay,
do a quick roll call. We've got our chair Peter Souza from Windsor, Grace Tiezzi from Avon. She's here. She might be muted.
I'm here.
Josh Kelly Bolton.
Present.
Bob Skinner Canton.
Here.
Mark Walter, Columbia. John Ward, Granby. Haley Wagner, Marlboro.
Here.
Brock Weber, New Britain.
Here.
Tom Fitzgerald, Simsbury.
Here.
David Norse, Southington.
Here.
Great. And then I've got Robin Imbrigno from HR Consulting Services.
Here.
Hi, Robin. And Caitlin.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Caitlin Suzula from Advanced CT.
Hey there, Kim.
How are you?
Good, good.
Good. Jack, I think I missed you. I apologize. Jack from Manchester.
I'm here.
And is there anyone else I didn't call that is on here from any of our towns by chance?
Kim, I'm back. I can stay for half an hour.
Okay, super. Hi, Tony. All right.
All righty.
That does it.
Great. Thank you very much, Kim.
Sure.
Does there, Pauline or Kim, does there appear to be anyone on for public comment?
Don't believe so.
All right. Very good. I better go back and do minutes for the May 19th meeting. Can I have a motion to adopt the minutes of May 19th, 2020?
Move to adopt, Jack McCoy.
Is there a second?
Second, Peter. This is Grace.
Thank you. Thank you, Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes? All righty. Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting as presented, please say aye.
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 Or raise your hand, or however you would like to do it. Anybody opposed? Hearing none. Anybody abstaining?
This is Josh Kelly. I'll abstain, as I wasn't present.
Thanks, Josh.
Same thing for Tom Fitzgerald.
All righty. Great. Thank you, folks. So, Pauline, I'm going to hand it over to you, since we don't have any public comment. And I'll let you introduce Robin and for her to give a preview of upcoming webinar.
Okay, great. So Robin is from Human HR Consulting Group. That's the consultant that we hired to be our on-call HR consultant. And she's we're doing a free webinar this Friday at 1:00. Regarding dealing with HR during the COVID-19 era. And she's going to give us a small preview, a 15-minute sort of mini version of that. Robin, I'll let you take over.
Terrific. Thank you, Pauline. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure meeting you all. I want to just confirm that you can see my screen. It says Families First. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Thank you. So I'm going to take what can be up to a, quite frankly, two-hour session, and I've condensed it down to some very specific bullets for you all, and then I'll talk to you a little bit about what might change for Friday or what, if anything, you all think should change for Friday. So my goal was to share with your members what they needed to know about the Families First COVID Response Act, also known as the CARES Act. So as many of you may know, President Trump signed this into law on the 18th of March. The law itself goes into effect on April 2nd and will run through the end of 2020. So this isn't something that will end once we're all back to work. This will continue on. And the heart of what we're going to talk about in the next 10, 15 minutes is really the paid and unpaid leave provisions that have been provided under the CARES Act, specifically emergency paid sick and emergency family and medical leave. And both of these will also apply to all of your members. So I think it's important that they both understand it and what they need to do with it in the upcoming months. So we'll spend a few minutes first on emergency paid sick leave. An emergency paid sick, as I just shared, is for all of the entities on this phone. So there are certain federal employees that are exempted from this. There's also a health care worker exemption, but it needs to be made in good faith, as well as a potential of under 50 employees. There is an exemption, and you need to be able to show that this would cause undue financial hardship to your business should you provide the emergency paid sick. And quite frankly, for most employers, whether a government municipality or a private employer, it's a zero-sum game, meaning there's no cost to anyone other than to the federal government, because there is a tax credit offset to reimburse the entity or the employer. So there's really no reason to exempt yourself, but we can talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So an employee of any tenure is eligible to partake in the emergency paid sick. And the employee, if they're full-time, will get up to 80 hours of paid sick leave. And if they're part-time, they'll get the average hours that they work per week for 2 weeks. So if they're a new employee, it would be what they're normally scheduled to work for a part-timer. If they've been around for a while, you would use the average of their 6 months of employment to determine what it is that you want to pay them. So just in terms of background, because this has come up, it's not up to the employee to ask you if they are eligible for this. It is really it's required that you both post as well as make sure employees understand that this is a program that they're eligible for. If they cannot work or telework because they either in the top you'll see all the red, in the bottom you see all the blue. The top has to do with themselves. So if there is a sickness for themselves, if they're subject to federal, state, or local quarantine. So this isn't just the government was shut down. This is you have to stay home. You've been told by a healthcare worker or by a local health agency that you are positive for COVID. You may be positive for COVID. You have symptoms of COVID. In any one of those scenarios, you are eligible for up to 80 hours of sick time. If you are taking care of someone else and you cannot work either on a telework basis or go into the facility, that employee is also eligible. So if they need to take care of someone, a spouse or a child that is subject to a self-quarantine order, if they have a child who can't attend school or daycare because the child care or daycare is closed because of COVID. And then there's this sort of catch-all, but if the employee is experiencing anything that's substantially similar due to COVID, they would be eligible for the emergency paid sick leave. And the reason there's two different colors is because someone who's taking care of themselves is actually eligible for a higher reimbursement than if they're taking care of someone else. So what are they eligible for? A person who is taking care of themselves, so one of those conditions that were in red, they're eligible for up to $511 per day, again for up to 80 hours. So 511 times 10, they're eligible for up to $5,100 in wages. And again, the agency is reimbursed for those dollars. If they're taking care of someone else, then they are paid up to $200 a day with a cap of $2,000. And just a side note that $200 a day is at two-thirds of the employee's regular pay rate. They make $100 a day. They're eligible for $66.67 per day for, again, the 10 days, up to 10 days. So before I go any further, can I answer any questions about emergency paid sick or emergency for taking care of self or emergency paid sick for taking care of others?
So if somebody has a heart attack or they're taking care of somebody with a heart attack unrelated to COVID, this does not apply.
Correct. That's correct. Now, next year, Tony, think it's a great question. Next year, keep in mind that we will have the paid family medical leave in the state of Connecticut. It will begin on the first of the year, though it won't start payout until 2020, but that is soon to be a reality as well. Any other questions? All right. Just a couple of side notes. Again, this program runs through the end of this year, so it doesn't stop when or if our bans are lifted. The employer cannot require, so even you as an agency cannot require that an employee takes any paid leave that they have to substitute these hours. The employee may choose to, but they cannot be required to. And if you choose to, what you can do is actually supplement. So if the person is getting paid 2/3 of that 1 day pay, you can certainly supplement the other 1/3, but you're not required to do so. There is a poster that you all should have up at this point. If you don't have that poster, I can make sure that Pauline gets it so that you all can have a copy of that. But there is a poster that it should be up in your different workplace facilities. If you are 100% closed right now, I'd encourage you to send this out to your employees so that they are aware that they have it. So let's talk a little bit about the Emergency Family Medical Leave, EFMLA. So Emergency Family Medical Leave, again, applies to employers under 499, again, applies to municipalities. Some federal agencies are carved out. And what this does is really expand FMLA on a temporary basis, again, through 1231. Any employee did have to work for you for 30 days prior to qualifying for this pay. So emergency sick, they could have just started with you yesterday and they'd be eligible. Emergency family medical leave, they have to be with you for 30 days. And this leave provides a total of 12 weeks of protected leave time paid for a total of 12 weeks of pay you can take. So the first 14 days is identified here because there was some concern around lack of clarity of whether it would be 12 weeks of EFMLA plus 2 weeks of emergency sick leave. And they have clarified that that is a total of 12 weeks, not 14 weeks of job protection. So I just want to clarify that because it is a confusing point, I think, for a lot of folks. So basically, if an employee cannot work or telework due to the need to take care of a son or daughter or in loco son or daughter, so someone you have adopted, someone who is in your care, if they are under 18 years of age and their school is closed or their place of daycare is closed, they're eligible for a total of 12 weeks, 10 under this act and 10 days under the emergency sick, or they can take all 12 weeks under the emergency family medical leave, but 12 weeks total to take care of that child. If the child is over 18 years of age and is dependent on their parents, so if you have a special needs child or someone you provide care for 24/7, that child would be eligible, or your care of that child would be eligible for this program as well. The first 10 days, if the employee chooses to take that paid time or take that time unpaid rather, they can do so. I don't know why someone would want to, but they could. They could take their own PTO, vacation, or sick leave for the first 10 days, and then after that, the next 10 weeks would get covered at 2/3 of their regular pay rate, again, capped at $200 a day, an aggregate of $10,000 per employee. Part-time employees would be the same as we talked about under emergency sick. They'd get paid for their normal scheduled hours, again, for a total of 10 weeks, 2 weeks they can use under the emergency sick leave. If there is a bargaining unit, the bargaining unit has to be consistent with the EFMLA standards, but more than likely they will be eligible to take it there as well. Same exemptions as we just talked about. Healthcare providers may exempt themselves. They are encouraged to do so on a case-by-case basis. And employers with less than 50 employees may consider exempting themselves, but again, they will need to prove that it would jeopardize the ongoing viability of that business. How do you get your money back? So when you do payroll, you withhold taxes for your employees. Basically, these dollars are coded so that the taxes that you would normally pay to a federal agency with that payroll are reduced by the amount of money that you paid that employee. So let's say you had someone on your payroll, you provided them with emergency sick leave, and it was $2,000. And you were going to be remitting $10,000 to the federal government for taxes with your normal payroll tax burden. You would be paying $8,000 instead of $10,000, and that's how you get back your $2,000. So as I shared with you when we started, it's a zero-sum game. The only other issue that could come up is if you had many people out at one time, and the burden of what you're paying under the emergency sick or the emergency family medical leave is higher than what you're paying in taxes. And if that's the case, there is a form that can be completed and sent to the IRS to get the reimbursement back in your hands. And typically it should be within 2 weeks. The tax credits, as we shared earlier, are capped at $10,000 per quarter per employee. And there is a job restoration piece of this as well. You should know that under the emergency family medical leave, the employee must be restated to his or her position after their leave. There are some exceptions, but I would be happy to talk to anyone who feels that there may be an exception because they are fairly stringent around job restoration and reinstatement. So what questions can I ask for you, answer for you under the emergency family medical leave, or if you have questions left from emergency sick, or about the presentation on Friday? Peter, I think you're muted.
I didn't want to hear everyone hear me eat my snack. So anybody have any questions for Robin on any one of these two topics?
I have
Go ahead.
Have an employee that's partially working and partially teleworking, and partially, you know, using the Family Medical Leave Act, do we just keep track of what she would, what 12 weeks would be times her, you know, 36-hour work week, and then subtract, you know, because it's very temporary and it's partial?
Great question, and the answer is yes. So you would want to, so know that the Act doesn't require you to use this intermittently, but certainly you can, which is what you're doing. We encourage it. So what you would do is track the number of hours that they're taking under EFMLA so that it doesn't exceed the total of 12 weeks times 36. And then once they have, if you're doing it by a third, that actually may end up extending for almost 36 weeks. So you can continue to do exactly what it is that you're doing.
Okay, good.
I had a question about emergency sick. So it's similar to that. If someone is able to telework, but they're taking care of someone who has COVID-19 or had COVID-19, that sick time would fall under the COVID-19 emergency sick time. Is that correct? Correct. Instead of they shouldn't be taking their own PTO unless they choose to.
Absolutely. It's their okay. choice. And if it's happened already, Pauline, as long as it doesn't go back prior to the effective date of this, you know, of this program, then you can even swap that back out. So you can reinstate their PTO hours and charge it against emergency sick.
Okay.
Robin, this is Peter Souza. Could you just refresh on the emergency sick leave in terms of that partial recovery of cost? How does that work? Is that similar to the family medical leave?
It's 100%. Anything you pay under these codes, if you will, under emergency paid sick leave or emergency family medical leave, you're eligible for a dollar-for-dollar reimbursement. What you can't do is if someone is taking care of someone else or if they're under the emergency family medical leave, you just can't provide them or seek reimbursement, if you will, for more than two-thirds of their pay, and the cap is $200 a day. So you can't pay them $300 a day.
Yep. So what is the mechanism? What is the mechanism to get reimbursed?
So great question. So depending on who you all use for payroll providers, your payroll provider should have a code that you would put these hours into for pay, and that code will actually reclaim your tax credit when your total tax liability is calculated for payroll. So in the example that I used earlier, let's say your total payroll is $20,000 for the week, and maybe $5,000 of it goes to taxes, so to FICA, federal withholding, so it's just federal taxes. But let's say $5,000 would be your normal tax withholding that you would send to the IRS. The code should reduce that $5,000 by the amount of monies that you've paid your employees under emergency sick or emergency family medical leave.
All right, I think I have one question this afternoon for my finance office.
And if they have any questions, please have them give me a call.
Can we get credit for the gross pay and the employer portion of the
vehicle? I'm sorry, I missed part of that question. I wasn't sure if two people were asking.
I'm sorry, this is Haley again in Marlboro. Do we get credit for that gross pay that we have coded as COVID-19 along with the employer portion of the FICA Medicare?
So it's a little convoluted the way that it's done. So you do get credit for the employer portion of the FICA. You actually get credit for the employer portion of the medical as well, if you're tracking that. But the way that they do the FICA, it's just for the Social Security portion, not the Medicare portion. And it's done on an imputed basis. So it's a little bit more confusing, but you will get that money back. They don't give it to you on a dollar for dollar, but they do reimburse you for that money.
So if I have not changed anything with my filings with the FTPS, will I get a credit when I do my 941s at the end of this quarter?
If you document it on your 941, you absolutely will.
Okay.
And the other thing that you could do, Haley, is you could put that through now. You can just aggregate code it right now in one or two payrolls, if you wanted to do that, if you have the code set up.
Yeah, I created a pay code for COVID-19, so I know the gross amount I paid out. I just have not adjusted any taxes that I send in when I do my, you know, EFTPS submission.
So who do you do payroll through, Haley, or you do it directly on the Munis system?
We do it directly on Munis.
So you should check with Munis. It's very possible that they've created a taxation code in the back end that will do the tax correction, if you will, for you.
Okay.
All righty. Any other questions for Robin? Robin, if I may, could I ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your arrangement you've with CROG, just so everyone understands a little bit about your background and the services you've contracted with CROG to provide?
Thank you, Peter. I'd be happy to. So the name of our organization, the Human Resource Consulting Group, HRCG, is a 32-year human resource and payroll outsourcing organization. We have worked with many municipalities throughout the state. We work with several currently to provide a variety of services. We work really on the end-to-end human capital life cycle. So from onboarding to offboarding, we help employers, both of municipalities, profits, nonprofits, to comply with employment regulations and to help manage employee relations. So we have around 35 employees. Many of those folks are on the human resource side. The remainder are on the payroll side, and they all support our small and medium-sized business clients. For CROG specifically, we have put together, I guess, a package where we can assist on an end-to-end basis, so manage all of HR and payroll for you, do any piece of that if that's what you need. We've also put together a plan for you all for compensation management, as well as for workplace investigations.
What happened?